broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is the broadcast for October 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2021, hour two of two. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. We talked about Claudette Calvin, one of the first to literally not give up her seat on a bus back in 1955, but of course she didn't get any credit for it. Six decades later, she wants justice. What about fake news back in the day and holding those newsmakers and government accountable? They mocked the cops back then. Civil disobedience for the left, always, always praised. Civil disobedience for the right, always, always mocked and shut down as a bunch of criminals and extremists and racists and haters. But really, remembering Chief Drew Lackey and his side of the story is interesting indeed. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, interviewed Drew back in the day. Charlottesville, unite the right. Does it relate? Immigration currently and criminal activity everywhere. Does it relate? I believe it all relates to the civil disobedience that has been taken to extreme and allowed and promoted in government by the left. So we're not going to look at this, honestly. We're just going to barbecue the, quote, white supremacists. Charlottesville, unite the right. Civil trial begins. It began on Monday. President Trump said there was good people on both. There were very fine people on both sides. Now, to make their case, lawyers are combining what they call online evidence gathering along with an archaic law, somewhat obscure law, back in Civil War eras. Okay, so their strategy is anchored in this federal law from 1871 that's often called the Ku Klux Klan Act. And they want to barbecue these people. Now, there's been no due process for the conservative side of the aisle. The liberal side of the aisle, of course, their civil disobedience, just like Claudette, absolutely justified. But the right gets a permit to go to Charlottesville. They're trying to prevent the taking down of statues. They want a peaceful event. They get a permit. It all goes wrong and melts down, and conservatives are in prison. They're blamed for the violence. But all the liberals, all the Antifa, all the Black Lives Matter, all the communists and socialists are running around free. So much for a speedy trial. It's all blamed on COVID. And now we come back to this situation, James, and say, these people aren't going to get even close to a fair trial. We're going to look back 50 years in history and go, wow, just like we're doing now to 1955, James. It's just a continued crawl towards communism, a crawl towards violence and anarchy and destruction of everything we hold dear. James?
And Tim, I don't know what you have planned for the rest of this hour, but I really think we could stick with this because I've got some information for you that I can promise you you're not going to be getting anywhere else.
Yes,
I mean, imagine if those who were opposed to the unpopular protests of the 1950s had taken these heavy-handed actions. Of course, Martin Luther King wanted to be arrested because he knew that the entire system was behind him outside of the state governments of the South. The federal court system was behind him.
He had communist money backing him as well.
He had all of that, and the government was behind him, and the media, and all of that. But look at what we have here, where these people are being absolutely at the threat of being completely and utterly ruined for exercising their freedom of speech. Again, we know that the people that were going there to defend the Lee Monument. They weren't going there to mix it up. And the only reason violence happened that day was because the police stood down and allowed it to happen. It is so shocking what has not been reported about this, which is, in fact, the truth, which, again, makes me call into complete question the narrative we read of the so-called civil rights era, when I can see now in real time the lies, lie after lie after lie, the complete opposite of what happened being reported as truth and the truth being completely dismissed. There is a book out. Let me start by saying this. There's a book out called Charlottesville Untold, and here's the description of it, and there's a reason I'm reading this to you. Most Americans used to think of Charlottesville as the seat of the historic, graceful University of Virginia with Thomas Jefferson's fascinating home nearby. But since August 12, 2017, Charlottesville, for most people, invokes the idea of a violent white supremacist riot. That's what we've been told by the media and by politicians. We live in a time when BLM and Antifa engage in violence that the media calls peaceful protest and politicians allow to go unpunished, and at a time when a walk through the Capitol building is called an insurrection. Perhaps the time has come for sober minds to take another look at the Charlottesville story. That's what this thoroughly researched book, based on dozens of interviews of people who were actually there, does. If the author's finding are any indication of what actually happened at Charlottesville, the narrative sold to the American people and the world at large turns out to be less than an honest and impartial appraisal of the known facts. Of course, dear reader, it'll be up for you to weigh the evidence, assess the testimonies, and ultimately judge for yourself. So the book is Charlottesville Untold, Sam. Inside Unite the Right. That's the title. It was written by Ann Wilson Smith. Ann Wilson Smith is a woman that I've had the opportunity to talk to. She is not an author. You wouldn't know it after you read the book because the book is incredibly well written. But she's a homeschooling mom who happened to be there that day. This is a homeschooling mother. I've met her in person. Dear, sweet little lady. I mean, truly. And she went to Charlottesville to, lo and behold, protest against the removal of one of her heroes, Robert E. Lee. She didn't go there to terrorize non-whites or to engage in some sort of violent act or with the hopes of causing trouble. She went there because that's what you do. You have the opportunity to do that in this country. So she wrote this book, and my work on the political cesspool is heavily cited in this because you know what we did, Sam? Unlike the establishment media, what we did on the very night, our show, of course, airs on Saturday nights, and the Unite the Right rally took place on a Saturday. And it was just hours before our show went on the air that all of the events of that day unfolded. And so I got on the phone with people who were there. And we interviewed, I would say, no less than 20 eyewitnesses of the events of that day, people who were there in real time, participants of that event. And for the three-hour show we had that night, I still say it's the best show we ever did. After 17 years, and we just celebrated our 17th anniversary, eyewitness testimony after eyewitness testimony that runs completely in the opposite direction of what the version we hear now is. And so this book does that. So if I say all that to say this, if you want to know what happened, buy this book, in Charlottesville Untold. Now, they have gone to trial now. You're talking about a speedy trial. Well, they're saying it's because of COVID, but COVID took place in, what, March of 2020? I guess 2.5 years wasn't enough time to get them into trial, but now they're there. And, of course, the reason that they delayed it is because they wanted it to be financially crippling. Okay, it was cruel and unusual to continue to have to pay lawyers for 4 years to even get to trial. The gentleman, Jason Kessler, who was the one who obtained the permit for this rally, has written on his social media account Psalm 43, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me, for you are a God in whom I take refuge." That's what the organizer of the Unite the Right is falling back on in this. But let me tell you another thing. He is giving reports. They are in the courtroom. All of these defendants are in the court right now as we speak. And the trial began with jury selection on Monday. Opening testimonies, opening arguments, are scheduled to take place today. And it's all going to be wrapped up before Thanksgiving. So it's going to go by pretty quickly now that they're finally there. But he is reporting from live inside the courtroom. And I want to toss it back to you before the break, but perhaps in the next segment I can give you some behind-the-scenes stuff of what's actually happening in the courtroom, stuff that is not being reported on. This thing has blown up again in the media. The narrative is out there front and center. As soon as jury selection started on Monday, you got this deluge of white supremacists on trial, hate on trial, blah, 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 all of the stuff you would expect from the controlled press, but you're not hearing what's actually going on in the courtroom. What's going on in the courtroom is pretty interesting. Sam, do you want to take it from there? Maybe I can come back to that in the next segment.
Yes, I do, and I want to basically tie. We started talking about 1955, ladies and gentlemen. We're ending up talking about a current trial going on right this very second, but there's more than one. The FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot, ladies and gentlemen. They found scant evidence it was not an organized plot to overturn the presidential election. That's according to four current and former law enforcement officials, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they say although federal officials have arrested more than 570 alleged participants, the FBI now believes that the, evidence shows that the event was not organized by far-right groups, ladies and gentlemen. So now you've got Charlottesville, but you've also got January 6th. And what I'm seeing here, ladies and gentlemen, is the government creates false flag operations. And they did it in 1955 with these girls. Praising, in my opinion, civil disobedience. To now praising it in Chaz. And praising it around the country. But when the left does it, it's praised. It's model for solution. It's the only way to have justice and integrity and honor. When the right does anything, it's turned into a violent, well, we got to go back to the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. And now we see these two, and we're finding evidence that it's not as we were told, not even close. Even the FBI admits now. The liberals literally shouted, insurrection, insurrection, led by the Donald. White supremacists and Donald created an insurrection at the Capitol. Now the FBI, after 6+ months, comes back, and the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was even organized. It wasn't, and they know it. But the damage is already done. So much for a speedy trial for either case. But I see both cases relating. Government is slowly but surely refining how they pull off these false flags, manipulate the conservatives, force them into a corner, lie about them, and get away with it. It happened to Lackey in 55. It's now modern day, and they've got you and I in their crosshairs. When we come back, we'll talk more about Charlottesville inside reporting. I also want to talk about January 6th. I had inside people there as well.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Charlottesville trial going on now, 4 years after the fact. No speedy trial, no due process for the right, but the left treated like rock stars as they use an archaic 1871 Ku Klux Klan Act along with modern-day scouring of the internet for, quote, free speech evidence to barbecue the right. That's what's happening right now in Charlottesville. Inside details from the courtroom, James Edwards.
You know, and that whole thing, Sam, is obviously there is no connection between whatever the Klan was doing in the 1870s and what these people were trying to do. And again, how do I know that? Because I know so many of the people. I know about half of the defendants on trial personally. And this whole thing, well, some of them may have shot their mouths off in private text messages. So you're going to put on trial every black person who says he wants to kill white people? I mean, we see stories about this on a daily basis. Now, they didn't even say that.
Yeah, we wouldn't have rap music if that happened, sir, that I'll be in prison.
So again, and by the way, nobody was actually saying that to my knowledge, but I'm just giving you an example. Anybody says something untowards on a text message now, you're gonna that doesn't mean a conspiracy. People give this over-the-top talk and conversation all the time. Not defending it, but that's not illegal. Now, if you want to listen to the Charlottesville trials, there is a number you can dial and an access code, and it's open to the public and open to media, open to anyone. You dial the number, you put in the access code, and you will hear everything going on in the courtroom. And I mean, and you will hear it with crystal clear clarity. You'll hear the lawyers. You will hear the jurors. You will hear the judge. You will hear everything. And I've been listening to it these past couple of days, and it's very interesting, I think, what's going on. Jason Kessler, who is the primary defendant in this, he is one of about 24 different individuals and organizations in this dragnet that the plaintiffs have cast, but he was the one who obtained the permit. So the actual lawsuit is called Signs versus Kessler. And Jason Kessler is live tweeting from inside the courtroom. And I'll read just a couple of his things. One is that the attorneys for the plaintiffs are finding out that the Western District of Virginia is more than just Charlottesville. Charlottesville is a very left-wing liberal college town. But this isn't a Charlottesville city trial. It's a federal trial in the Western District of Virginia. And that includes a lot of rural areas. And you're finding out during the jury selection process that not all of these people love Antifa and consider them to be terrorists. For instance, one juror was asked if he has ever been the victim of violence. And he said he remembers being the victim of anti-white racist violence. And then the plaintiffs immediately jumped on him and started interrogating him about whether or not he's a white supremacist. So you see what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. They ask these jurors questions as they determine whether or not they're going to be fit to serve on the jury. And when one said had been attacked by a black man before, or he believes that is the predominant form of racial violence currently, they asked if he was a white supremacist. So that's how these terms are being defined. But to go on, and I'm just going to browse through here very quickly and read some of the things that these potential jurors are saying, okay? And again, we don't know these people. You know how jury selection works. You get a letter in the mail, you show up. Nobody knows who these people are, completely random members of the community. One juror says his brother-in-law is a police officer, and it blamed the errors on the Charlottesville Police Department for the violence that day. One said that he isn't worried about anti-Semitism because he just doesn't believe that we have a problem with that today. Current juror testified about his unfavorable view of Black Lives Matter. He said he witnessed rioting that damaged a courthouse in Lynchburg, Virginia, and defined Antifa as domestic terrorists.
Okay. Yeah, imagine having to be like that, ladies and gentlemen, and then saying that, and hey, you're not a juror now. That's for sure.
Well, this is something that I learned in listening to this, is that I guess people probably know this, but each side, the plaintiffs and the defendants, their attorneys have strikes, and you can strike up to a certain amount of jurors from consideration to be included in what will be the final jury. The plaintiff's attorney ran out of their strikes well in advance of the defendants. So what that leads us to know is that these jurors aren't coming in here trained little dogs from what the media coverage of this has encouraged them to believe. And even in the face of unbelievable pressure to stick it to the defendants in this case, I mean, it's sort of like the Derek Chauvin trial where you know what the expected decision is supposed to be. Several potential jurors said they are afraid to serve on the jury because if they don't give the verdict that society wants, they're afraid of violence coming to their home. One juror went off on anti-white hatred in society, saying there is more hatred against whites than Jews, blacks, and other groups. He says you see it everywhere you look, on every channel, but that he could be impartial. So, I don't know. I mean, just listening to what's happened the last couple of days, reading what the primary defendant is tweeting out about what's happening in the courtroom, I don't know, Sam, if the hand hasn't been overplayed. I mean, obviously in the Derek Chauvin trial, justice wasn't served there. I've been in court, and justice wasn't served, but we'll see. I tell you what, this is going to be a case to remember. I don't think we can overstate or overemphasize how huge this case is, because it's going to be a very chilling effect, on freedom of speech if this goes badly. Sorry, Sam.
Amen to that. Here's what we really need to do. Forget the left and the right paradigm. They use that to divide the people. What they really need to do is say this. Who created an act of violence? Who is alleged to create act of violence? Who literally harmed someone? In other words, who broke the law? We need to get a list of those names. They need to have their own individual trials based on the facts. And if they did create havoc or violence or whatever else, then they need to be prosecuted. If somebody was defending themselves, then we need to give a reality check for that, saying, hey, you know, now I don't know why the police aren't on trial for this. They're the ones that brought both groups together, literally forced them to interact instead of doing their jobs properly. The right had a permit for this. The other side did not. That needs to play into this trial. So will we have justice? I am guessing not in this liberal bastion, but I pray the answer is yes. And ladies and gentlemen, same thing with the January 6th attack. Every time you have the government painting this narrative that turns out not to be true. They told you in the January 6th attack that, hey, it was the right-wing extremists. It was organized from the highest levels. Even Congress was in on the organization. Republican members of Congress were. Now the FBI says there's scant evidence of that. It's not true. But nevertheless, same thing with the left-right riots in Charlottesville. You know, Donald Trump said there's good people on both sides. By inference, there's bad people on both sides. He got slaughtered for that. But look. Liberty News Radio is at the center of almost everything important in the nation. I kid you not. I don't understand.
Hear, hear.
Little teeny radio network can get this done. It's by the grace of Almighty God and the Widow's Mite Network, I'm telling you right now. So I covered literally January 6th live. People were on the streets in Washington, D.C., on the radio with me. Right after the fact, I had witness after witness parading on the broadcast, telling their side of the story, and it's not as the government told you. We knew that back then. It took the FBI literally months to come to the same conclusion that we documented, literally live on the spot. James Edwards was the same day as the Charlottesville fiasco, having, again, parading witnesses telling the tale of truth, truth tellers on your radio, on scene from the event. Personal experiences. I mean, how do we report so succinctly on these things? We're tiny, James, with no funding at all. And we're at the center of it all with the truth months before even the FBI gets it, James.
It's an amazing thing, Sam, and it's only truly by the grace of God and by his good humor that we have been allowed to do these things. And, of course, our dogged tenacity to seek out the truth, even in these controversial and third-rail stories that we would be personally better off not covering. It only opens us up to attack, to weigh in and have a say in these things. But we've been able to do it in such a high-profile way. I mean, again, literally the only book on record. Obviously, we've done radio. That's a different form of media. That's a spoken, verbal media. But the only book, the only... You know, you would say brick and mortar if it was a building, but the only tangible piece of media that you can hold in your hand and read that's been written on this from the perspective of the defendants, we are heavily cited in. The work of this radio network is heavily cited throughout this book that is meticulously researched, and everything is backed up by fact. And by the way, it is heavily cited, too. The author gives you QR codes that you can scan with your phone and take you to document after document after document that proves the official narrative on Charlottesville is totally bogus. And there was an article that came out today on the UNS Review that said if justice was served, it would be Governor Terry McAuliffe on trial this week and not Jason Kessler. They forced there to be a conflict. They wanted there to be violence so they could further chill the freedom of speech of dissident activists. That's not America. These are anti-American people. These are thugs. These are criminals, I think, that are actively working to undermine the Constitution and our freedoms. And listen, no matter if you agree with me or not, you don't have to agree with me. I know you're just hearing it, and you got to take my word for it, and that's hard to do if you don't know me well.
You
I think
go
you have to
research the
agree.
Book and scan the QR codes, and you can listen to the reporting that we did back in the day. It's all archived for you, ladies and gentlemen. What's the name of the book again, James?
Charlottesville Untold, Inside the Unite the Right by Ann Wilson Smith. You can get it at ShotwellPublishing.com. Shotwell Publishing.
Ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Nearly a half million homes are without power in Massachusetts Wednesday morning as a nor'easter soaked the region with fierce winds and heavy flooding. The state's outage map shows 473,200 homes without power as of 8:20 a.m. local time. Wind gusts reached 97 miles an hour at the height of the storm, and although the winds are dying down, gusts are still reaching around 70 miles an hour on the Outer Cape early Wednesday. Attorney General Merrick Garland will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. He's expected to face questions about the politicization of the Justice Department. Republican members of the committee will likely focus on issues related to Hunter Biden, school boards, and critical race theory, while Democrats are likely to focus on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Which U.S. state has the lowest COVID-19 rate right now? Florida. In mid-August, Florida had the worst rate of infections and has completely turned that around. USA Radio News.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Can I get a weight reading on the cat in exam 3?
Zuri needs a new vet tech after their current one literally moved to a farm. But finding an ideal replacement takes some training.
This is like herding cats.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Schedule virtual interviews and talk to candidates right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get an update on President Biden's spending bill that has zero Republican support. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Moderate and progressive Democrats are continuing to try and finalize a price tag for the budget reconciliation bill, as it will be far below the originally advertised $3.5 trillion. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso says no matter what the price is, Americans will still have to pay for it.
Everybody's going to end up having to pay for this if they get to finally figure out what's going to be in it and how they want to pay for it. But everyone's going to get hit one way or the other.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. The Biden administration says it has framework to pay for the bill, and they would never increase taxes on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
As Tuesday's nor'easter winds down along the East Coast, flooding continues to be a concern. USA Radio News.
Back in July, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, hey, Rosa Parks, Claudette Calvin, and remembering the reality of what happened back then and how it ties to civil disobedience today. When the right does it, criminals, KKK people, bad guy. When the left does it, it's praised as the only way to get things done. In fact, the ends justify the means. But whether we're talking about the Charlottesville Unite the Right civil trial begins now, whether we're talking about the FBI finding scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was highly organized, the FBI is saying, no, it wasn't. James Edwards covered Charlottesville like nobody's business. I covered January 6th like nobody's business. Live witnesses parading on the radio telling you that isn't how I saw it. That isn't what I experienced. Wait a minute. That's not how it went down. When I was there, that's not how it was. And on and on and on. Go listen to our archived radio broadcasts for more details. But I'm telling you right now, the book, Charlottesville Untold, Inside Unite the Right, Ann Wilson Smith wrote the book, ShotwellPublishing.com, to learn more, to get your copy and read the truth today. That is really important. But, man, this little teeny network, we've literally covered these events like nobody's business. Feet on the ground, on your radio, real time, eyewitnesses, firsthand experience, documenting what really went down, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, you've been propagandized to the highest order by your mainstream press. But you know what? Truth tellers are on your radio, James.
They are, Sam. And it was just, I didn't go to Charlottesville. I didn't have any hand in the planning, but I am a man who is proud of his Southern patrimony. So when an issue this big came up that dealt with the preservation of a Confederate monument, a monument to Robert E. Lee, who was more than a Confederate, obviously just a great exemplary American, I obviously was going to know a lot of people who were going to be there. And that's how we were able to get in there with those phone calls and just have so many people on the air that day from Charlottesville. Remember, this wasn't some white supremacist violent initiative. That's not what they were going there hoping to do. They were going there hoping to at least speak out against the movement to remove this beautiful piece of art, this statue, this monument. So that's what it was all about. But yes, I mean, the truth is out there.
This historical remembrance icon.
The truth is out there. It's like the X-Files, but it's convoluted. But I got to say again, for the point of emphasis, if we know, and we do know, you might not know, but it's true, and I know, they're lying about Unite the Right, Charlottesville. They're lying about January 6th. And if they're lying about that, can we really trust their version of the truth from the 1950s era? I can't. I'm sorry. I don't.
I can't. I don't. I won't. Also, they basically promote the Holocaust. If we bring up anything that's a chink in their armor, they say we're deniers. I'm not denying the Holocaust, although I don't believe the official government narrative on it either. But they simply relegate Holodomor on the ash heap of history, but yet, hey, we want to talk about, you know, how does that work? So the history is all mixed up. They have an agenda a mile wide and an inch deep. It's tragic, to say the least. But now we got to talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, ladies and gentlemen, because it's starting now as well. And there's some fascinating things that have come from the judge on this. Remember, Kyle Rittenhouse is the guy that, how does it work? He shot some guys defending himself and defending, it's crazy because the narrative on that is completely mixed up too. But here's what the judge said really quick, then we'll turn it over to you on this, James. Men shot by Kyle Rittenhouse during the Kenosha protests can be called rioters, looters, and arsonists, and cannot be called victims, says the judge. James.
I'm looking at it right now, Sam. I'm looking at that, and that was, look, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a huge deal, but what I think it does show is that there is at least some impartiality here with regards to the judges and the situation with Kyle Rittenhouse and in Charlottesville, respectively. The judge's name in Charlottesville is Judge Moon, and Judge Moon has overruled the attorneys for the plaintiffs and ruled against them in some of the decisions coming from the bench and some of the requests that they have. According to what I've heard by listening live to the proceedings and by some of the reports that are coming out on social media, that, again, nobody's touching in the establishment press. There's still going to be such tremendous pressure that's already been admitted by the people in jury selection that, hey, I'm worried because if I get on this case and if I hear the findings and if I'm led to, by truth and facts, rule in a certain way or decide this case in a certain way as a juror, I'm afraid, and several jurors said this, that somebody's going to come to my house and harm me or my family. But the thing here, it still is noteworthy. You got this judge. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse, that's another huge case. This was the case in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where there was a Black Lives Matter riot. They were burning down the city. Probably ill-advised. I mean, very different than Charlottesville, fundamentally, that Kyle Rittenhouse would go there as sort of like a defender of public property, as a young man, kind of go there and insert himself into this riot, this violent, what mostly peaceful, is completely violent, as so many of them were. So he inserted himself into there, very different than a permitted freedom of speech rally at a public park. But I think you can still certainly make the case that it was self-defense. Now, yes, if he hadn't gone there armed, there would have never been an incident, and he didn't have any real reason to be there. It wasn't his property, but he was there. I do think he should probably be found not guilty as well. But there's tremendous pressure for him to be cast as the villain and the destructive anarchist to be cast as the victims. And this is, again, to the exact point. I'm reading from CNN, hardly an arbiter of truth here. As trial approaches, judge will now will allow the men Kyle Rittenhouse shot to be called rioters or looters, but not victims. Very interesting, Sam. Very noteworthy.
Yes, very noteworthy. They say men shot by Kyle Rittenhouse during Kenosha protests can be called rioters, looters and arsonists at trial cannot be called victims. Now, here's the next thing that's very interesting. Video of officers thanking Kyle Rittenhouse during the, quote, Knauset riots last year can be used in next week's trial. Judge rules, these are just some of the rulings that are setting up the parameters for the case. So the video can be played where the police officers are thanking Kyle, saying thank you for your help. Basically, Kyle's claiming that he was helping the cops, knowing this was going to go wrong, and saying, hey, I wanted to be a citizen supporter of the police. Now you can say, well, he doesn't have the right to do that. That's another debate. But that's his contention that, hey, I was just defending myself, and I was trying to support the cops. This was getting out of hand. And the cops literally, well, in the video, thank him. And that
there's two ways
played
to look at that.
That can be played in the trial, James.
He had a lot of support from law enforcement. Sam, you're right to bring that up. He had a lot of support from law enforcement in the immediate aftermath of this. And, in fact, a lot of high-profile Trump surrogates were fundraising for him and things like that. So, yes, that's true. And yes, you could argue, well, it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't gone there uninvited. But, of course, it wouldn't have happened if the anarchists hadn't been there uninvited tearing down the city. So I think that's just about a wash there. And he was in fear of his life, apparently, and that's why he started taking a couple of shots there. The timing of all this is remarkable as well. Here you have two major cases, Charlottesville and Rittenhouse, after so many years respectively, and they're popping at the same time. There's going to be a lot to watch and talk about. And again, it's not just because, hey, we're in favor of these people or this guy and not the opposition. So it's sort of like we're rooting for our own team here. It's a lot different than that. It's a lot more important than that. If these cases go sideways, especially in Charlottesville, your entire right to freedom of speech and assembly is absolutely shot. Absolutely shot. So
hold on. We're talking about the First Amendment, and there's five guarantees in the First Amendment. You just mentioned two of them. Right to peacefully assemble, okay? But you also got to, and free speech, but you also got to realize redress of grievances is one of the five, too, and that will be shot down. Because, look, these gentlemen, many of them were involved in self-defense. Many of them had no choice. Many of them weren't even really that violent. They're just basically supposedly the bad guys for planning it in the first place, is their kind of thing. So three out of the five fundamental guarantees, maybe five of them, are literally violated in this. Your right to peacefully assemble, James. Your right to free speech. Your right to a redress of grievance. But then the other one, your right to your religion. Many people believe that Robert E. Lee in accurate history is a religious mandate. The other thing that's interesting about this is, what about freedom of the press? They're now using this archaic law from 1871, the KKK Act, in conjunction with now combing the press, or the freedom of the press for individuals, which is the internet right now, what do you want to call it, evidence against them? So literally all five guarantees in the First Amendment violated. If we lose these, James.
Yeah, that's right, Sam. And by the way, the Antifa is putting out posters of the defendants on trial saying, hey, if you see these people, you know, you fill in the blank as to what's supposed to happen, and stalking these people as they come out of the courtroom. I mean, of course, that's very interesting. But I have watched so many hours of unedited video footage, chronological video. You're not the proponent of violence if you defend yourself. If violence is visited upon you and you try to get out of it or defend yourself or fight back, it's like, well, he hurt the Antifa's hand. Well, what happened? Well, when the Antifa was beating his skull in, his knuckles got bruised. You know, that's basically what we've got.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens, ladies and gentlemen. All right, quick pause. We got a lot more where that came from. Let's go, Brandon.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes, civil disobedience on the bus back in 55. Charlottesville and modern time trial begins. Unite the Right trial. Charlottesville Untold, an inside view of Unite the Right. Shotwell Publishing and Wilson Smith. The men shot by Kyle Rittenhouse can be called rioters. Yeah, they can't be called victims, though, but they can be called rioters, looters, and arsonists. Video of officers thanking Kyle Rittenhouse for their support can be used in the trial. So these two trials are going on right now. But ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that government is just refining how they handle false flags and how they create these crises in America where the Hegelian dialectic is used to promote communism and socialism and civil disobedience and destroy all of our laws. The border comes to mind front and center. We call them undocumented immigrants. You steal a car and you're a criminal and you go to jail. They steal a car and, well, they just didn't have documentation for the borrowing of the vehicle. That's all. Undocumented borrowers is what they're called. All right, now you got a poll out. Let's go, Brandon. It's widespread and popular, they say, ladies and gentlemen. And how does this relate? So really, around the country, people are saying, F Joe Biden. Okay? And a journalist eventually said, let's go, Brandon, is what it was. And then it took off. But the reality is, most Americans, 80%, are saying, hey, running around saying F Joe Biden is the way to go to show our civil disobedience against Joe. Whether you like Let's Go Brandon or the F Joe Biden, I don't see how one comes out of the other personally. And they're so opposite. But nevertheless, Americans now think it's appropriate just to use that kind of language publicly in stadiums all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. I don't like Joe. I think Joe's a criminal. I think we should prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. I think you ought to be impeached. Then he'd be on trial for treason. That's my personal opinion to which I'm entitled. But I don't really support the F. Joe Biden stuff. I just think it's a waste of time. It's crude. It literally, in my opinion, destroys the narrative of America when women and children are present and you got this going on. It's a disgrace, but most Americans support it, James.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you said that, and I want to touch on this very quickly. We were out and about at a park last week. Fall weather setting in. It's just beautiful, beautiful, and it was a crowded park. And my wife and our three children were just walking around. And over the course of a couple of hours, I heard, I would say, Sam, probably at least three, maybe four, just in the course of a couple of hours, preteens, I mean, young kids, using the F word and just crude language just as they walked past us in casual conversation with their group that they were with. It's so tacky. It's gross is what it is. So I'm with you on the language, but with the story of Let's Go Brandon, if people are unaware. So there was this NASCAR driver named Brandon. I don't even know his last name, but his first name was Brandon. And he won Talladega, which is one of these big stops on the NASCAR circuit. And as he was giving his victory interview, his post-race interview to a reporter, all of the crowd that was within earshot in the stands were chanting F Joe Biden to the top of their lungs. It was so clear and obvious what they were saying. They were saying F Joe Biden. And the reporter who was interviewing Brandon, who had just won, said, oh, listen, they're saying let's go Brandon. And I think that just go. And of course, it went viral because it was just so absurd. It mocked, and rightly so. It just goes to show, though, lying is instinctive. They tell a lie when it's twice as easy to tell the truth. I mean, obviously she couldn't say what they were saying, but she could have just not acknowledged it.
She could have said they're saying F Joe Biden, shame on them, like I would have.
She could have said that. She could have said that, or she could have just said nothing and been professional.
When you have stadiums chanting F Joe Biden, why are you surprised when little kids use those words every day? All the time.
Okay, all that's fine, and the whole thing about them saying that. I think that their anger is certainly well placed, but the application maybe could have been a little more appropriately done. But to me, that's not even the story. The story here is here's the media once again, even on something so simple and benign as this thing, just lying. Just outright lying, and you know you're lying, and you know you're not hearing "Let's Go Brandon." You're right there. I mean,
well,
if I can
and,
hear
and
it
and I'll
the
tell
camera,
you how we know the reporter's lying. If the reporter really thought it said, let's go Brandon at the time, which I don't see how, but let's say the reporter really thought that. The second this started to go viral, the reporter could have stood up and said, listen, I totally got this wrong. But the reporter said nothing. They've just let it go as kind of their latest, you know, whatever. It's a disgrace on so many fronts. It's shocking. Why do I bring it up now? Because you're literally creating more and more angst to move towards civil war in America. And whether it's Charlottesville, whether it's 1955, whether it's the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, whether it's the January 6th scenario, whether it's I can go on and on and on and on, masks versus not masks, vaccine, they are literally fomenting for war in America, ladies and gentlemen, and they're getting closer and closer to making it happen.
Sam, I got to
better be aware, quickly, ladies and gentlemen, because it's coming. Write it down and remember who told you first.
10 seconds, and that is there will be a balkanization of America. And it will most likely happen in our lifetime. It could actually happen quite quickly. If Trump, just some wild scenario, if Trump was to be reelected, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that the left-wing states might secede. This country as it exists now will not exist for much longer. That has been thrust upon us. That is not what we wanted. That's not the way we would have had it. But this country is not going to exist as a in the 50-state geographical makeup that it is now for much longer. It's coming apart at the seams. We agree on nothing. We are much more divided now than we were during the Civil War. It's inevitable that it's going to fall apart.
And let me give you a couple of anecdotes to make the point. A reporter trashed us for an event we had, literally lied through his teeth about us and our intentions and who we are and everything else. And I literally got a hold of the reporter and had an email conversation with the reporter. And the reporter basically lied on several fronts. But in the end of the day, I said, can we get on the radio and talk about this together? And he basically said, hey, for me to talk to you on the radio, Sam, is a bridge too far. It would be unethical for me to even literally engage with you on any subject.
And we can talk about you.
We can't talk about me and abuse me and lie. But he can't talk to me in a meaningful two-way discussion. And I wrote back and I said, you know what, sir? If we cannot listen and talk in America anymore, we're in serious, serious trouble. Thank you for your time. And I was polite to this gentleman the whole time, but he literally said it was unethical to even discuss things with me publicly.
It's and that's par for the course with the media now. There is no nuance. There is no discussion. There is catechism. There is catechism, and there is narrative, and they speak with a single voice on it. There's a single voice that they speak through with regards to their reaction to Trump, to any issue. There is a single voice, and almost never, if not never, is it the truthful voice. Whatever it is, if it's the vaccines, if it's Charlottesville, if it's Trump, if it's the civil rights movement, they all speak with one voice, and it's never. In any story of any importance in accord with the facts. Not that I've seen.
All right, a final story to make the point, ladies and gentlemen. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. So there's a guy by the name of Dr. Scott Jensen. He's a physician. He's also a state senator, believe it or not, in Minnesota. So he's a physician and a current state senator. He is now running for governor of that same state. And he says his medical license has been investigated 5 times. Why? Because of complaints against his positions on issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Jensen said, I don't mind. I'll respond to the complaints. But he warns citizens. He warns us as citizens of people who want to politically weaponize medicine. And then he says, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. Dr. Scott Jensen, ladies and gentlemen. And his license is under fire because he questions masks. He questions the lies of Fauci. He questions the medical science behind it all. He's a physician, remember. And because of that, he's been investigated 5 times. He happens to be in the political realm. He's a current state senator in Minnesota now. And he's running for governor. But I think there's no accident that he's been investigated 5 times. And you know what? It's happened to Trump. It's happened to this doctor. It's happened to the people, the right side of the people in Charlottesville, the people that are on the right side of the discussion. It's literally happened through our history. And ladies and gentlemen, we better wake up and get a handle on this. Because if it can happen to Dr. Scott Jensen, if it can happen to Donald Trump, if it can happen to Mike Flynn, if it can happen to James Edwards, saying that he's a member of the KKK and a leader of the KKK when it's not even factual, but yet, don't worry, it's okay because of Aesop's fables. If it can happen to me, I got attacked by the IRS, the FCC, and the USDA all at the same time, and I beat them all. Thank the good Lord. But I'm telling you right now, if it can happen to us, ladies and gentlemen, it can and will happen to you. It's just a matter of time. James, with that, that's what we're seeing in America. False flags foment abuse of all things godly, all things God, family, and country, sir.
Yeah, this is an interesting story and a nice capstone to what has been really one of the fastest 2 hours I've ever had on this program. The situation with the doctor, it doesn't have the racial animus that the media loves to foment. I mean, they love picking off the scabs of racial, of old racial wounds and racial tensions. And it doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. But the situation with the doctor, and it's radicalized people. It's radicalized good, God-fearing, tax-paying conservatives. And by radicalized, I mean they're not going out and advocating for violence or doing anything untoward, nor should they. But there is poll after poll now that fleshes out the number of people who are in favor of secession now is skyrocketing. The number of people who believe that there is an anti-white and anti-Christian bias from our media and government is skyrocketing. And there is a metric, there is a way to test the political stress level. And the political stress level in this country right now is equal to or greater than where it was in 1861. And when you have pressure that is built that much, the pressure has to be released somehow. And how that happens, it's going to be interesting to see, but it will happen. And I pray that it happens peacefully.
And I pray for peace. We follow the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, I'm afraid, and it's starting to look more and more and more like this, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't wear a mask, if you won't get vaxxed, if you are white, you know what? You are the terrorist of modern times. You are the enemy. And all things holy, all things God, family, and country are literally attacked, maligned, abused, and more Americans will get marginalized. And at some point, we're not going to tolerate it. We're going to push back. Remember, the first line or the front line people that were in the medical industry were praised till the cows came home, until they decided they didn't want vaccines because they don't believe they're safe and effective, until they decided they didn't want to wear a mask, until they decided that Fauci's a loony bin nutcase that's bent on destruction. Okay, and now all these same people that were heroes just mere months ago are now enemies of the state, literally terrorists. Lose your job. Who cares about you? We hope you die. The vaccinated are the, quote, first class, the upper class, the elite. You and I, if we're not masked, if we're not vaccinated, well, hey, you can't even get an organ transplant. Just die, you fool that won't take the vax. This is where we've come to in America, ladies and gentlemen. We'll watch these trials. We'll watch these fault lines. We pray for peace, but I'm telling you, they're fomenting for war. They're using the border as their capstone to bring in all kinds of armed-to-the-teeth drug cartels, slave trade sex cartel leaders, and the communists and the socialists in bed with our government are going to lead civil war with that narrative. You better wake up and get involved in the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only truth-telling Liberty Roundtable Live. For James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, I am Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. But, buddy, you got to get involved. You got to put your money where your mouth is. God save the Republic of the United States of America.